I make sure to have at least, I have two monthly scheduled calls with two other platform people in different funds, where we just spend an hour talking about what we've been building, what challenges we've been having, partners we've made. Yeah, just what platform looks like in our fund at the moment, what we're struggling with, to see if we can lean on each other for support, ideas. And that's been really awesome. I love that part of my job.
Now, Julian comes from a non-traditional, non-finance background, and when I was talking to her, I realized that she found her perfect spot in the world of venture, despite the fact that she wasn't always in it. And it's very fascinating that someone can come into an industry, be so quick to learn the foundations and the basics, and then exceed expectations and do so much to help founders. It's so fascinating. And I was so happy to learn on the episode that she's able to lend her skill set to a venture fund that has such a unique thesis. Julian is a product analyst at Maze, and her work revolves around VC platform, which is obviously why she's our guest. Maze is an impact investment firm that offers financial and non-financial tools to everyone committed to delivering positive social and environmental outcomes. And their team believes that impact is the greatest economic opportunity of our time. Isn't that super interesting? Enjoy the show. Okay, one, two, three. Julian, super, super hyped to have you on. You know, we spoke last year before the holidays when we were planning this pod, and then finally, after 2 months, we're on the episode. So welcome.
Made it. Thank you. It's great to be here. Yeah, it's an honor. I'm excited to see where this goes.
Hell yeah. And for those of you who are listening but can't see video, I love Julian's background because there's, what are those, surfboards?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so unique. So there are legit surfboards?
They're real. I didn't borrow them for this call.
It's really good. It's very colorful. There's a brownish one, there's an orange one, that's my favorite. And the ones at the back I think are white. So, you know,
Yeah.
fantastic backdrop here. Loving the energy, Julian. Sea surfing, you know, relaxed vibes going into the podcast episode. I like that.
Yeah, that's life in Portugal.
That's life in Portugal. You know what? That's a great segue. So let me ask you this, Julian. I'm obviously hyped and excited to have you on. To get the audience just as excited as I am, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing at Maze Impact?
Sure. So I'm originally from South Africa, born and raised, and I've been living in Portugal for the last 3.5 years. And before coming to Portugal, I was working for a impact investing firm based in South Africa. And yeah, I ended up here because I was studying in Spain. And I wanted to live closer to the Atlantic Ocean again and work in impact. And yeah, impact kept me here. I found Maze, who I work for now. And we are an impact investing firm. And for Maze, I work under the platform and product functions. So supporting our founders that we invest in. And then also just building custom solutions, either for the founders that we support or in-house, just to make sure that we can spend as much time as necessary with the founders and then automate the rest.
And that's kind of unique there, right? Because a lot of folks I speak to or I've spoken to so far, Julian, they're either working in a function that's directly supporting the fund, or they're working in a function that's supporting the founders and portfolio founders in many aspects, right? And to meet a person like you who's helping on the product side as well as the community side, I think is a first on the pod. But before we dive into the VC stuff, when I read up on your background, Julian, I was really impressed because you were a graphic designer in South Africa, and then you're an English teacher in Mexico, and now you're working in the VC space, living in Portugal. That, I don't know about other people, but if you ask me, that's pretty unique and pretty fascinating. So how come? Like, that, talk to us about that background and what made you work with founders in the first place.
Sure. So there is a thread that runs through all of these seemingly quite random experiences. But basically, I studied business management, and when I finished studying business management, well, during my studies, I was working as a graphic designer. I really enjoyed the creative side, but I also enjoyed business and the challenges and being creative in that space too. I was just a bit disenchanted with the private sector when I finished my studies. So I decided to take a gap-ish year, and went to Mexico with the goal of learning Spanish. And as an exchange for that, I decided to teach English for a year. So I did that, and I was cooking in a vegan restaurant and trying to get a feel for if some kind of alternative lifestyle was for me. And although it was really fun, I ended the year still quite eager to see how I could put what I'd learned in my studies into practice. And I was talking to a friend about this, and we started speaking about impact investing. And it was really interesting to me because it was a way to combine my personal values and things that I felt really were important with business and the kinds of businesses that would be considered impact startups or social ventures, but definitely companies that I was interested in working with. So with this new focus, I went to do my master's in sustainable business and innovation in Barcelona, which was awesome. And through that, I came across a startup based in Portugal, founded by an entrepreneur called Nathan, and he was growing mushrooms from coffee waste. And Delta, which is a huge coffee company here, was providing him with the coffee waste to kind of complete the circle. And through him, I was coming here after my studies, and I messaged him to say, hey, who works in impact in Portugal? Like, who do I need to know? And he mentioned Maze. And Maze was on my radar for a while. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was working for a South African company remote from here. And after a year of that, I realized I actually wanted to stay here, and I wanted to work in the impact space in Portugal to be a bit more connected to where I was living, and just to be with people in person. Like, working fully remote is not for me. And Maze happened to be looking for someone with a bit of no code background, some experience in capacity building. Yeah. And yeah, that was my entry to platform and VC, and I've been there ever since, and it's awesome.
I'm not lying when I tell you this. That is the most diverse. I think you're number one on the most diverse background on this pod yet. I've heard stories of people would say, you know what, Mash, I got an internship, or they would say, oh yeah, I was an alumni at XYZ company and I spoke with another alumni. Our previous guests have said that. Yours is the coolest story so far. It's the most diverse. I'll say this, Julian. You know, in the beginning, you said that you wanted to use your creativity to really design your career, design your life. And then as you were trying out different things, being, you know, cooking in a vegan restaurant to being a graphic designer, et cetera, you were always willing to find where the signal was in your own life to truly understand what is something I can do, sure, to earn income, but also so that I feel like my values are being reflected in the work that I do. And it seems like you kept looking for that. And finally, you know, through your efforts over the years, now you're working at a space that where you truly feel like you can bring your full self to work, right? And that's very motivational. It's a very good story. And I'm an even bigger fan of your journey now. So that's freaking awesome. You're making fans on the pod. I like that.
Thank you. I think we spoke about this before, but it's super important for me to have whatever I'm doing be driven by values and have more of a connection to it, because I struggle to focus day to day. So having this extra layer of connection to something really helps to stay focused on what I'm doing. And
I'm the same way. And the reason I say that is because sometimes the work might be easy or tough, but I feel myself getting less distracted when I'm working on an initiative where I feel like I belong there, because then I can bring my lack of attention. I can say, dude, look, I know you're not feeling it right now, but this is what you want. You know, it brings my values onto the same page. So given that you've been in the VC space for a bit now, Julian, kind of curious to see how you're seeing the venture capital space overall evolve. You know, how has it evolved over the last few years? And where do you see the venture capital space going in 2024, particularly in Europe? Kind of curious to hear your thoughts on that one.
So I'll try not to be too bleak. But since I've started working in VC in Europe, the platform function has definitely grown a lot. I think VC in general and platform as well has always been quite far ahead in the US. And we're starting to see that grow more and more here in Europe and also in Portugal. And obviously, given the current macroeconomic conditions, it's tough out there for founders and funds. It's hard to raise at the moment. Founders and funds are being pushed to be leaner, to make more with less, extend runway, which is obviously tough, but it's also pushing us to leverage things like AI, to be more focused on how we can build products that are, we always say, you can't automate empathy. So for us, it's building things where we're spending as little time on the things that don't really matter, automating all of those things, and then spending time with founders face-to-face in moments that are really pivotal or structural in their growth journeys and in turn in them creating more impact. So I think, it's moving. It's going to be tough for a while to come still. But I think there are always exciting things that come from these challenges. I'm excited to see platform continue to grow in Portugal and in Europe. It's a really awesome like global community to be part of. Platform people are really collaborative, really open, and it's been such a great work environment to be in. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes.
That's a great response. And I, you know, while we're talking about platform, you know, one of the things I wanted to pick your brains on, Julian, is are you seeing platform in Europe being more, platform functions in Europe being more general or more specific? I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, I learned about a VC firm based out of the States, and their specialty is regulatory. And so when they invest in startups, those startups are generally building in the regulatory space, and they have folks on their fund team who have industry knowledge for 20, 30 years who are supporting these founders to help go to market faster, and because they've already seen the ins and outs of the regulatory firm, right? So in Europe, in the VC platform space, are you seeing that funds are offering more of a blanket platform approach, or are they being very intentional and specific with the kinds of services that they're providing founders, you think?
I would say it's a bit of both. I think funds in general tend to, but we have to lean into the things that we do best. And it always depends on the fund size, the mandate or the thesis of the fund, and the space that they work in, and the team size, their domain expertise, that kind of dictates what part of their platform value add is going to be attractive for founders. So we are impact generalists, so our portfolio is quite diverse. And in a way, we have a generalist approach to platform that we try and do a bit of everything. But there are obviously parts that we naturally drill down further in because we know that we can provide more value there.
Provide more value, yeah.
For us, we have a small platform team of 2 and then an investment team of 4. And between the 6 of us, there is more of a focus on portfolio management and spending one-on-one time with founders on challenges, like preparing different exit strategies or acquisitions. And you have other funds where, like in this example you mentioned, they have a specific domain expertise, like product. For us, it would be impact and obviously early stage in Europe. And then mm-hmm. that connects to the kind of network that we build. Also through our impact work, we have done a lot of work with corporates in Europe and in Portugal. So there is also that angle that is beneficial to the founders that we invest in through the fund, creating relationships there and providing insights on what corporates are looking for and how they can collaborate with startups in commercial partnerships.
So it
really depends fund to fund, but I would say that there is a general inclination to lean into what you do best. Otherwise, I think founders are quite used to this kind of VC platform washing where there's a lot of promises and they say that they can unlock all of these things for you.
Yeah.
And then once they're invested, they feel disappointed because they don't get the support that they expected. So I think now, with it being a bit more competitive and more funds offering or having like an intentional platform, they are held responsible to deliver more on the promises that they make and the support that they promise to give.
And I was listening to a pod I think 2 nights ago, and the founder there said that a lot of times investors promise a founder that they'll provide XYZ. Oh yeah, we got you covered. We'll bring you more customers. I'll use my introductions. And then when they're on the cap table and then the founder reaches out, no response, right? They just leave them on red. And it almost makes the founders question if they got the wrong investors on their cap table. On the first episode of this pod, I think it was Abby from True Wealth Ventures. And what she mentioned is founders need to also learn to ask questions to the VC funds around their platform functions,
mm-hmm.
asking them about their capabilities, asking them about, you know, what stage of the fund are they, is being invested in their startup? You know, are they in their 7th year as a fund? Is it an early stage VC fund? And it also helps the founders understand how much committed the VCs would be to supporting versus really just rushing the portfolio founder towards an exit because they really need to return the capital back to their LPs, right? So I think a lot of that thinking needs to go into a founder's homework when they're taking money from a VC or taking money from an investor. But I do want to go back to what you said a couple of minutes back, Julian. You said you can't automate empathy. And I think that's one of the things you mentioned to me earlier before this pod, as well as when I was reading your 10th anniversary fund report, when I learned that you've mobilized 400 million euros and supported over 200 startups across 30 countries. That's a lot of activity. And as an outsider reading about your fund, I was extremely impressed and very wowed. So it sounds like you have a pretty lean team at the fund as well. So talk to us about Maze Impact, which is the name of your fund, and like your thesis and the kinds of founders you invest in, because that's super fascinating.
Sure. So under Maze, we have what we say is a toolbox for impact. And inside that toolbox are different tools, and venture capital is one of them. So through venture capital, we obviously have MSM, which is the VC fund. It's a 45 million euro pan-European impact generalist venture capital fund.
Mm-hmm.
So we invest in lockstep ventures, meaning that the impact of a venture is directly tied to the financial performance of the venture. So the more financial returns a venture builds, the more impact they build, and vice versa. And this is central to our investment thesis, because we believe that impact is the greatest economic opportunity of our time. So in that, we invest in pre-seed or seed startup, mm-hmm. With a ticket size between 100K and 1 million. So that's MSM. And then also under venture capital, we have MazeX, which used to be like a traditional acceleration program, which is now shifted more towards like an even earlier stage VC tool, where we do a blend of like hands-on support mixed with investment. So this is usually before any of the ventures have anyone on their cap table. And they would get 100K, 50K would go towards the hands-on support, and then 50K they obviously get to pocket for their growth. And this is all meant to prepare them for their first funding round.
Yeah. And so you're saying MazeX comes before the founders raise their funding from Maze Impact. It's almost like a pre-accelerator or an incubator where you're helping startups really get their idea off the ground. And then once they pass that round and you guys get to truly understand the founders over a year or a few months, then it makes more sense to enroll them to invest in them as part of your Maze Impact fund, the 100K to $1 million pre-seed and seed.
Yeah, so that's MSM. And the link is not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. They both exist because we believe that they are both needs in the market that need to be addressed, specifically in early stage. But there is no guarantee that a venture that has gone through MazeX will be invested in by MSM. But obviously, in an ideal scenario, MazeX would be the perfect deal flow for MSM.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was listening to another pod the other day, and you know, there's a lot of focus these days on VCs helping founders from an extremely early stage to get an idea off the ground. It's almost like, mm-hmm. I think it's called the incubation stage, and staying with the founder from the incubation stage up until their pre-seed round. And I think it's an intelligent move from some VCs because it almost guarantees that they would be the first check in to these founding teams. And so they don't have to really compete with other firms. And point number two is the VC fund gets to learn the founders and their, you know, habits, their thinking, because you can't learn that over a 60-minute Zoom call. Not really. You just spend time with the founders in person and watch them evolve over time, right? So yeah. Pretty fascinating stuff. I didn't know that there's another piece to Maze Impact. So you mentioned the word impact quite a bit, Julian. Why don't you unpack that for us? What does impact truly mean for you guys at your fund? And how do you really measure the impact that you're having on founders' lives as well as the impact that the founders are having on their customers? Like, how do you really see that word impact?
Sure. So for us, as an impact investing firm, obviously, we're focused on the resource allocation in solutions that solve social or environmental challenges. So these solutions could be goods or services with which people interact for their benefit. Mm-hmm. And we say that we offer financial or non-financial tools for everyone committed to delivering positive social and environmental outcomes. So this spans from investors, entrepreneurs, corporates, or the public sector.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, our thesis is that impact is the greatest economic opportunity of our times. So solving these environmental or social problems is always our departing point, and remains central to our work. Mm-hmm. And how we measure it, as I mentioned before, we invest in lockstep ventures where mm-hmm. financial and impact returns are mutually reinforcing. So to assess the impact of a venture, we use the impact management project framework.
Okay.
it's a mouthful, but it's just a tool that looks at five dimensions of the performance of a venture or an intervention to understand its impact. So it looks at who, what, how much, contribution, and risk. So when we look at what the impact is, it's like what outcomes occur, are they positive or negative, of the intervention or the venture? Who are we impacting? So who experiences this? Are they underserved or are they quite well served? And obviously for us, we want to be aiming for outcomes that create net positive impact that are serving generally underserved populations. And then when we look at how much, we want to know how many people are impacted or what is the degree of change and how long does it last for?
Mm-hmm.
And then contribution. This is the contribution of the venture relative to what would have likely happened if they weren't to exist. And the last dimension is risk. So what externalities for people or the planet are associated with this business model or this intervention? So when we look at a venture, we look at all of those things to understand and like rate the impact. And then during their onboarding, we will set impact metrics with the venture that we will track. We will track and they will report monthly and quarterly, with the aim of reaching a cumulative 4-year impact goal. And, these goals are incorporated into the fund structure and our incentives are tied to them, which makes sure that impact is really central to what we do and we are not just driven by financial incentives. So the carry of the fund is directly tied to us achieving these impact goals within a threshold. So if at a portfolio level, our companies achieve within 60% of our targeted impact goals, then as fund managers, we will receive the 20% performance fee based on the net proceeds of the fund. And if not, we won't, which really makes sure that we're incentivized to deliver and maximize on both impact and money.
That's so well thought out. Like, it seems like you guys have quite literally thought of every angle. It's a very prescriptive, quantitative framework. And, you know, for those of you, the name is Impact Project Management Framework. And is this something you guys came up with yourself at Maze Impact, or is this a industry standard?
No, it's an industry standard. We are lucky enough to work with one of the founding members of the framework.
Oh, wow.
But it's out there in the world and anyone has access to it. So we can't claim to have founded it, but we definitely use it in all that we do.
Yeah, so you're an impactful fund as well as a well-connected fund. I like that. Very unique. And I imagine, Julian, that a lot of the work that you do with founders ties in with your role at the fund as well as the VC platform function in general, right? So at your fund. And so I'm kind of curious, you know, how do you personally look at the word platform in general? And what are the specific platform capabilities that you provide your founders? Because I remember when I was reading up on Maze Impact's platform capabilities, it seemed very diverse and very well thought out. So I'm curious to know how you're seeing the VC platform space, like how do you define it? And what are the capabilities that your fund offers its portfolio founders?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So platform in simple terms is just the value add that we provide our founders beyond the capital that we invest. And as I mentioned before, we are a small team, so we have to be smart about our work. So we aim to build custom solutions, leveraging no-code tools so that we can support our founders and make sure that we're spending time with them on things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
We have different areas of support. So we would cover things like talent, commercial partnerships, fundraising support, and intros to investors. And it really depends on the venture and what they will require from us. But I would say a large chunk of the support that we provide is around fundraising support and commercial introductions. So in the last year, there was a lot of time spent with founders, helping them define their exit strategies, thinking about acquisitions. So it's really dictated by the founders' needs. And this comes through their investor reports. So every month and every quarter, founders obviously report to their investors. And in those reports, there is always a section of asks where they ask their investors for support. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we obviously read those reports every month, and we log all of those requests and categorize them under the different support areas. And then as a team, we try and address all of them, and we treat it like you would any like customer success funnel. So they're all tickets in the funnel, and each week we take action on these requests. And then obviously, looking back on all of these requests, we can paint a picture on what areas of support were requested the most. And naturally, we don't have the scope in-house to address all of them. Some mm-hmm. of them are completely out of scope, and in which case we would bucket them as an opportunity. And then at the end of the quarter or the year, looking back, we would try and understand which requests that were opportunities could we maybe develop a more lean solution to that could be addressed in the year to come. And that's kind of what dictates our platform support at MSM.
Yeah, that's so well thought out. Again, like there's so much structure, Julian, to how you and your team address founders' concerns and actually support them. Because I've, not on the pod, but I've spoken offline with a few folks in platform over email or over live calls. And sometimes what I hear back is, Mash, we're still trying to figure things out. We're a very small mm-hmm. fund. I'm a one-person team. Where our primary support is X, but then for the others, we're really seeing as they come, and they're still figuring things out. And I guess that makes sense given the maturity of the fund and all of that. But with your fund, it seems like there's structure to how you support your founders, the kinds of founders you invest in, and the ongoing relationship that you keep with your portfolio founders over time. And I think, you know, this is like a soft sales pitch for any founder who wants to raise funding from Maze Impact. So pay attention, guys. I like that. And you said your platform team is a two-person team, you and someone else?
Yeah.
So how does your day-to-day look like with so much work, with so many founders? Like, how do you balance everything?
So my day-to-day is varied, and I like it that way. It's a mix of building or fixing bugs, a lot of fixing bugs, reading founder reports, supporting the team in connecting founders with the right person when they're struggling with a specific challenge, talking to people who are interested in working in impact, interested in working in startups. There is a bit of work around talent, mm-hmm. Connecting with other VC operators, as I mentioned, through the VC platform community. I make sure to have at least, I have two monthly scheduled calls with two other platform people in different funds, where we just spend an hour talking about what we've been building, what challenges we've been having, partners we've made, what platform looks like in our fund at the moment, what we're struggling with, to see if we can lean on each other for support, ideas. And that's been really awesome. I love that part of my job, that I get to spend time with people like that. And they're so open to sharing, down to like the questions that they include in their founder survey or the I don't know, people they spoke to for community research. Like, people are so open to sharing these things. So yeah, it's a mix of building, fixing, speaking to people, chasing the investment team to make sure that we've made the introductions that we need to, or following up with founders to understand what their experience was with an intro we made, understanding how we can support them more on a role they're trying to fill.
I love that, Julian. And the collaboration piece, I think, is critical, especially when you're working in platform, because you need to be fully aware of A, what is your fund up to? What are your partners seeing? What is the investment team seeing, et cetera? But also outside the fund as you're collaborating and or speaking with others, which is what you alluded to earlier. Joshua Goodfield, who's the executive director of VCplatform.com, gets a shout out on every episode on this pod. It is so funny. One day I'm just going to group all of the shout outs and just email it to him. He's a nice guy. I think he is based out of Toronto. And when I found out that he's in the same city as me, I was super surprised. And super nice guy. So I can totally understand how he's spent 10 years building such an amazing community and really bringing structure and direction to the VC platform community and the space overall over the last decade. So Joshua, that's a shout out. But you know, I was talking to Oliver from InMotion Ventures. He's based out of UK. He was on the last episode. What he said that he does, Julian, is every week he'll sit down with his whole team. You know, I think it's on Thursdays or Fridays for 20 minutes to 30 minutes and just have a conversation about platform. Like, hey, what are you guys seeing? What are founders looking for? Where are they struggling? Because Oliver alone can't figure out everything. So he welcomes feedback from everybody else so that now he can work towards a better direction for building out the platform functionality of his fund, right? So, and what you said in the beginning of the pod, Julian, was also the VC platform space is highly collaborative. And I'd like to say very kind. Everybody seems like they want to share what's working, what's not working. And I'm getting that vibe from everybody on these podcast episodes. Everybody just wants to share. They're open, they're vulnerable, and they like to say, Mash, here's what I'm trying to figure out. Mash, I have no idea how this works, but hey, you know what? Who does? Person X at Fund Y, right? Yeah. And that collaboration really makes people realize that, hey, you might be lost, but so was I. Let me help you out. And I can totally see how that, you know, how your personality and others' personalities tie into that community. It's very, very refreshing, I must say.
Thank you. It means it's a good space to work in.
But then how do you socialize with all these funds, Julian? Like, you know, I know Portugal, I think Lisbon has a nice bootstrap founder community. Like, I see screenshots on Twitter all the time. But how do you socialize with other funds? Is it always online? Is it in person? How do you do it?
It's a mix. So through the VC platform community, obviously I've met a lot of people. Last year we went to their summit in London, which was awesome. Also met a lot of new platform faces that I hadn't met before, just through online networking. And then through that in Portugal, we've established like a mini spin-off of all of the VC people based in Portugal, and we meet we aim for quarterly, and we go for lunch, and we chat about what we've been building, our current platform strategy, what events we're attending, founder struggles. It all kind of comes up quite organically. And then on top of that, there are a few VC platform people that I met along the way that I connect with. I feel like we're at a similar level, or it's different things. Like, sometimes we work with similar tools. They're also into no code or low code, or their fund has a similar thesis. And then we usually meet once a month and we have a similar style chat. And those are really cool moments to share, like, hey, have you seen this tool? It's really helped me with X problem. Or we introduced our founder to this guy. He's a growth expert. I'd really recommend him. Or things like, yeah, I'm setting up a new CRM. What CRM do you use? What are your pains? Like, it's really granular, really practical. goal. Like, it sounds really simple, but it makes a huge difference to be able to phone someone that's working in another fund, doing something similar to you with a completely different perspective, and yeah, just access to real practical support.
Yeah, and getting to the nitty-gritty details of what's working and what's not working.
Yeah.
Because I think that ultimately that's where the value is. Yeah, that's pretty fascinating.
I think it's quite unique, because usually in another context, companies wouldn't be at this collaborative because of competition, but platform has this sweet spot of making that possible. I guess it's also, platform is relatively new in the VC space, and everyone's figuring out what to do, and that really helps everyone kind of be a bit more supportive. Yeah,
and have a common mission towards actually supporting founders. You know, it's not a, what do you call it, like a net zero, I forget the word, but you know, it's not like if one person wins, the other person loses. Especially in platform. And so what's on your mind going into 2024, Julian, you know, as we wrap up the pod? I'm kind of curious what's on top of mind for you and your fund as you're going into a brand new year. It's just mid-January.
So exciting news for Maze.
We'll
be starting to raise for a new fund. And this will be, so our previous fund, MSM, is a joint venture with another VC from the UK called Mustard Seed. That's why it's called MSM. So it's Mustard Seed Maze. But this year we will be fundraising and launching our own fund, which is cool. It's going to be a good challenge. So that's definitely on my mind. How platform at Maze will be able to provide the support at the same level of quality, obviously at another scale. So it's always interesting to see what we will end up building and how we can keep to our promises in supporting our founders. And then also we're always testing things. So this new fund and this new year always means iterating on what we did last year, streamlining things. So there's a lot of heads down and building.
Out of curiosity, first of all, congratulations. That's freaking awesome. Out of curiosity, what size will that fund be? And does everything else stay the same, sort of thesis and, you know, still pre-seed and seed stage?
The size is TBD. We will still be going early stage, and we will obviously still be going impact generalist. I think there's probably going to be more of an interest in more deep tech, which we kind of dipped our toes in with fund one. And that's all I can say for now. It's still...
Yeah, I love it. You know, stay tuned for the rest. Maybe when we catch up again in 6 months, I'd love to also learn how you're scaling your portfolio capabilities, because now that there's, you know, X times three, well, how do you scale your portfolio services to support everybody at the same quality as you are now, right? With a two-person team, which is super fascinating. So now we can do the rapid fire round where... And I don't know, for the audience, I have no idea what Julian's responses are here, but it's just a bunch of questions where I'm hyper curious about each other. So let's start off with favorite pizza topping. What is it for you?
Arugula.
Arugula. Okay, you know what? Arugula is pretty decent. I've heard spinach arugula. I've had arugula in Toronto. Julian, they'll sometimes put the arugula in the oven. I'm like, dude, why would you do that? What's the point?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you're supposed to put it on top after it's done.
Peppery arugula. I love it.
Sorry, arugula or what?
I said fresh, crunchy, peppery arugula.
So not so directly on the pizza. Exactly. Okay. For me, it's on, I don't know how you're going to react, but it's pineapple, you know? Oh, no. It's always extreme reactions, man. It's... When was the last time you tried it, man? Like, come on, you know, you gotta give it a second chance. It is
probably 15.
Sorry, 2015?
No, I was probably 15.
You were probably 15.
I think I gave up early. It was not
that fun. Was like years ago. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. You know what? It's getting bad. Okay, I'm not going to defend my pineapple because I know what pineapple's worth. Next question. If you could pick one superpower, what would it be?
I would say to be able to breathe underwater.
Fascinating. Why?
Well, I think it's just cool to be able to go diving without having to come up for breath or having a massive oxygen tank on your back. And also, it would be very handy for surfing. And I think it would take this thing out of going out on big days. I would be less scared if I knew I could breathe underwater.
Do you surf?
I do.
Oh, wow.
These are real surfboards, I promise. Yeah. They're not all mine, but they're real. And some of them are mine.
Okay, so you do. Okay. You know what? I'm ashamed to say I can't swim. My dad will not let this go. He's like, Mash, you have to learn to swim. It's a whole body exercise. Mash, you have to learn. I'm like, Dad, I barely get on the water. Anyway, yeah. Nice superpower, though. I like it. Mine, I told the last person on the pod that it's teleportation.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed impressed. But then he said he wanted to manipulate time. I'm like, dude, like, you want to ruin everyone else's concept of time so you can just do things slower, faster? For me, it's just teleportation, man. I'm a simple man. I just want to get to Europe and
That's really handy. I think I've had moments where I wished I had that superpower too.
Teleportation, when I'm running late for a meeting, just teleporting to like a Zoom call.
Or avoiding long haul flights. You could just teleport there, save yourself 15 hours.
Time and money, yeah, both. What's your go-to comfort food, Julian?
Oof. I think tea, and I'm not saying that like I don't love chocolate or ice cream or all those things, but tea's always been like something very soothing for me.
Yeah, I see that. That's pretty nice. Mine, I haven't really thought much about it, but something warm,
mm-hmm.
where there's flavor and ideally like a stew, or I'm thinking like something to do with potatoes, you know, something just mashed potatoes that are made nicely, you know, just something to just calm down. And second last question, if your life was a movie, what genre would it be?
I think a blend of, I would say, adventure and comedy.
Adventure and comedy. That was what the last person said too. Yeah. Adventure and comedy. I think so. He said a little bit of comedy and then he mentioned like another genre. I was like, dude, what? I think for me, it's... Well, every episode I ask these questions and every time I think about it, my answer changes. Last time I told a guy mind-bending, like a psychological thriller. But who the hell wants that in their life? I don't think that's the right answer.
I won't judge you if that's what you're into.
Like a crazy mind-bending thriller life. Anyway, I would probably just, I don't know, man. Like I'm somewhere between, I think I still want a thriller, like a thriller mystery of a life, you know, where I'm always on my toes. I don't know what's next. Otherwise, I think I would just get bored. Action, adventure, I'm a bit, I don't know, but like a mystery one. That's
more. Mystery, like, I can't watch thriller. I won't be able to sleep.
I'll give you some recommendations. You're going to like the thrillers. Okay, I'll email them to you. Last question is favorite way to spend a lazy Sunday afternoon?
Sunday afternoon. Probably if it's summer, on the beach, swimming and reading. If it's winter, inside, somewhere cozy, with a fireplace, someone else's dog, and a good book.
I love how the book is like the common element in both scenarios.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. That's very sweet. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. For me, thinking about my apartment in Toronto. It's winter time now, so perfect thermostat temperature. I got a sheep. I hope the sheep wasn't martyred for this, but I got a sheepskin from Slovenia. It's legit. It's so soft. Yeah. Just putting my head on the sheepskin and then just watching some TV show and, you know, ordering in food so I don't have to wash or clean. I'm a simple man, Julian. You know, that's all I need today. Ask me this question in a year. Maybe I'll have a different response. But for now, just a simple Sunday night in watching a nice TV show.
I feel you.
But the common element to you and me is like, you know, comfort, fireplace, you know, warmth, and just really taking it all in. So it's nice. Julian, I'm super, super happy that we got to talk and, you know, got to know each other on a personal level with our favorite genres and superpowers, but also dig into the platform side of things. It's honestly so cool what you guys are doing at Maze Impact, not just because of the diversity of what you do, but because of the structure and the, like, I can tell there's been a lot of thinking put in to make sure all parties are accountable to what you're doing at the fund and also to consistently help the founders keep having momentum towards having more impact. And that is difficult to establish. And I'm so glad you guys have nailed down the equation there. So congratulations on being part of such a cool fund. And thank you so much for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been great. It's it's always a privilege to share what we do.
Perfect. Take care, Julian.
Ciao. Thank you.
Ciao.
Bye.
Take me back, okay? I'm going to come clean. This episode was recorded a few weeks ago. I'm editing that. This is now in post-production. But the vibes that was there on the call, the things that I learned on the call, it was so much. I just miss it. I really miss it. Every time I have a guest like Julian on the pod, I always wish they would come back and we would have new things to talk about. But anyway, I really love the episode. It taught me so much, especially given their unique perspective on impact. And when I opened up their PDF, you know, they have a platform overview document on their website the last time I opened it. And it is so holistic and so detailed. And it's incredible the amount of thought that went into crafting and designing their platform capabilities. It's honestly so gorgeous. Go to maze-impact.com. Check out their website. It's fantastic. You love what they're doing. And of course, reach out to Julian. She's a great person to speak with. And I'm sure she'll be able to help you out if you are trying to figure out your VC platform capabilities and how to design and scale them. And in the meantime, if you want to watch the podcast that you just listened to, head on over to youtube.com and type in Hire CMO Pod. That's HIRECMO space POD, like podcast. And tell me what you guys think. Would love a tweet at Hire CMO, literally at HIRECMO on Twitter, or just leave a review on the podcast so I know how I can improve this pod and really bring the best minds like Julian over to you so you can learn everything that you need to know about VC platform. Thank you so much for tuning in and have a wonderful evening.